is the Lord's day. And we would not supplant that day and what is due him that day by anything, not even a loved one or a member of our family. The Lord who gave us our being, who gave us eternal salvation through Christ, the Christ of God who went to the cross of Calvary to shed his blood for us, and who has kept us eternally secure, blessed us with all the blessings of life, is due the most, the highest, and the greatest of our praise, of our adoration, of our devotion of anything or anybody in the world. And we would not, in any sense, seek to turn away from that or to direct people's thoughts away from our obligations to Almighty God and our debt of gratitude we owe to Him. This is also, according to human tradition, Mother's Day. And I wonder, you know, I tried to get everybody to call some mother or to be sure to get some mother, or if you were a mother, to come. How many mothers are here this morning? How many here are mothers? All right, there's quite a lot of them. And the question, did you bring all of the kids with you? And the old man, you know, he may be sitting at home watching television. Some of them might. Yes, Mueller brother. All right. But among the many, many specials that people have in churches and special days and all of that, I think Mother's Day is a fitting and proper day, and the observance thereof in our small and limited way, as best we know, need not interfere nor conflict in any way with our worship of Almighty God. Because I know, as I stand before you this morning, that I am saved by the grace of God, and I firmly and truly believe, although salvation is of the Lord, we're taught to pray for one another and to pray for people. I know that my mother prayed for me many, many times, long before I was ever saved, and others, of course, of loved ones. And I'm sure that many of you could say the same. And I think it's fitting and proper that we give some little degree of special honor and recognition to the mothers in our land. Therefore, this morning, I want to speak to you on the woman's threefold place in God's purpose or God's plan. Now, I thought about this subject, you know, God's ERA program. You hear a lot about ERA. Well, God has an ERA program, and it's already passed. They may not all live up to it, but it's already written down, and it's been a part of God's eternal truth through the ages. I want to ask you to turn with me back to the book of Genesis, the second chapter this morning, and I shall, in these moments we have to speak, I'll try to give you some simple thoughts along this line, and I hope it will help you to appreciate your mother, and that mothers will appreciate their children, and that everybody thus connected in life by blood relationship will learn to appreciate one another. And not only those who are related by blood relation, but those who are related in a more, in a deeper and more lasting sense by the Spirit of God, being the children of God, that we may appreciate one another more. Begin with verse 18 in the second chapter of Genesis, and we're going to give you some scriptures. We'll go along, very simple thoughts. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Did you women ever think about just being a rib? And yet this book says God took a rib and he made it a woman. Well, I'd hate to do it out my ribs, wouldn't you? And certainly it's bad for men to have to do without their wives or their mothers, their loved ones. And God provided, of course, for that. Now let's go on just a little further. And Adam said, verse 23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. All right, now there is a lot said in those few verses of Scripture. The whole plan of God for human society lies there before you in those Scriptures. God gives us the institution of the home. He gives us the institution of marriage. He gives us the sacredness of that institution when he said a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh as one. This, my friend, gives to us a picture of God's ERA plan, if you want to. ERA, what does that stand for? Equal Rights Act. I believe that's right, isn't it? Equal Rights Act. Well, let me give you a little secret this morning. You know, I noticed yesterday that about 25,000 people were marching down the streets of Chicago crying and howling like a bunch of banshees in the African jungle, crying for ERA to pass. Women all over this great nation of ours today, they're howling ERA, equal opportunity. Equal opportunity. Well, let you in on a little secret this morning, my friend. God beat them about 6,000 years. Why? Because God set up an ERA plan many, many centuries ago. And when women run up and down the streets trying to wear the pants in the family and trying to run the business of the world and how ERA, we give us equality. It just shows their ignorance. That's all there is to it, because God gave them that 6 centuries ago. I mean, 6,000 years ago. 60 centuries ago. God gave an ERA plan, an equal opportunity plan. Women said, we are tired of the men being ahead of us and over us, and taking up everything and denying us. In other words, what they're really saying is they're tired of the plan that God set up and they want to change it and make one for themselves. That's what they're saying. Now, I hope we're getting this on tape, and I wish you'd send out one to every woman from here to Jericho and back. I'd like for them to listen to me preach on this morning. We're here to worship God, but we're here to turn aside a bit and give honor to mothers and their women. And I want to show you God's plan. But when the woman today, I don't care who she is, when the woman today fills the place that God appointed for her in the beginning of the human race, she is equal to man. Don't you forget it. Because the place that God gave to the woman, no man on earth can fill, and you know that. You never heard of a man giving birth to a baby, did you? Ah, brother, I'll tell you, it's sickening and disgusting and heartbreaking to see the ignorance and the God-defying attitude of those who claim to be women and mothers and law-abiding people and who want to see things as they ought to be. God told you exactly how they ought to be. And it's when the world began to get into trouble is when they began to try to change it and make it suit themselves. And the reason our nation today and the reason the nation of the earth and the world in which we live are in such a turmoil and such confusion and such trouble is because the peoples of the nations are trying to change the plans of God, which He set up in the beginning of the dawn of human history, which He worked out in the council chambers of eternity before ever a star shone in the blue heavens above, before the sun light ever fell across the fields, before a blossom ever sprang up from the flower coming out of the earth, before ever a man made a footstep upon this earth. God worked this out in the ages past. He knew exactly how He wanted it to be, and He created it and set it up that way. And when we go trying to mess with God's work and change it around, then we're going to get into trouble, sure as you live. And that's the situation today. Yet the modern concept of so many women, now I'm not saying this about you women, now maybe you all agree with me on this. If you don't, if you are one of these ERA women, then I'm talking to you. But the modern concept of so many women today is that they want to be the boss of things, and they want to wear the breeches, and they want to tell the world what to do, and they're trying to get into politics, and they're getting out of the home. They've long since gotten away from the home, and the homes of American life are breaking down, disintegrating, and dying. And brother, when you have destroyed the home, you have destroyed the foundation of a right and good society and an institution which God set up in the beginning of time when He looked upon Adam, one lone man, the first of His creation, and said it's not good for him to be by himself. I'm going to get somebody to be with him. And He made a woman. Well, there's so much that we could say, but I'll tell you frankly, here's one preacher. Without any apology, I stand opposed to all of this hue and cry and confusion about the passing the ERA, Equal Opportunity or Equal Rights Act, because I think that has been in existence all the time. I know there's always been men that would take advantage of women, and there's always been women that would try to get ahead of men, but the masses of those, particularly those who believe the Bible and believe in God, they're willing to take the thing as God set it up, because the one who made it certainly knows more about it than the rest of us who play around with it. There, I like to think of this as God's threefold purpose or plan for women. And I want to give this to you in three or four, about three projections, or three main topics or thoughts, if you please. First, the divine appointment of God for women. Now, everything in this earth is by divine appointment. We're here by divine appointment. And by divine appointment, we're going to heaven or hell, one of the two. And everything that comes into our life and everything we're able to do and everything we have is by divine appointments. Oh, God has appointed unto man once to die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so the appointments with God, we've got to take into consideration. And there is a divine appointment for women that falls into three categories, if you please. And we find them right here in the scripture. First, as a wife and companion to a man. Second, as a helpmeet or a homemaker. Third, as a mother of children. Now, if you can get around that and take it from the Bible, then please show me. All right, I want to read you a little piece that I may have read this to you sometime before, but I found it the other day, and I just slipped it in my notes here. I want to read to you about my mother. She carried me under her heart. She loved me before I was born. She took God's hand in hers and walked through the valley of shadows that I might live. Bathed me when I was helpless, clothed me when I was naked, gave me warm milk from her own body when I was hungry, rocked me to sleep when I was weary, pillowed me on pillows softer than down, and sang to me in the voice of an angel, held my hand when I learned to walk, nursed me when I was sick, suffered with my sorrow, laughed with my joy, glowed with my triumph, and while I knelt at her side, she taught my lips to pray. Through all the days of my youth, she gave me strength for my weakness, courage for my despair, and hope to fill my hopeless heart. When was loyal when others failed, was true when tried by fire, was my friend when other friends were gone. Prayed for me through all the days when flooded with sunshine or saddened by shadow. Loved me when I was unlovely and led me into a man's estate to walk triumphant on the king's highway and play a manly part. Though we lay down our lives for her, we can never pay the debt we owe to a Christian mother. You know, I could say amen to every bit of that, every statement in that item. How many of you here this morning have lost your mothers? Let me see your hands. Oh, quite a number, but many of you still have them. To you who still have mothers, let me say may this message be a help to you, that you'll not wait until it's too late to show that honor and that love and that appreciation. I loved my mother, but I didn't always show her honor and the respect she was due. As I grew up, today I have no mother. I have a lot of memories in my heart. Memories that will go with me to the grave. And I have a lot of regrets in my soul. Because when I had the chance and had the opportunity and had the open door of the privilege of showing to her the honor and respect and dignity and love that is rightly due the mother, I took it for granted and let it pass. Now, and she's gone now. They come and go and leave us with those regrets, and we can't do anything about it. But because there are so many things that cannot be said in this one message, I will go on. First of all, now I said God had a threefold appointment for woman. You heard me read it here in the Bible a moment ago. God said it is not good that man should dwell alone. Now, God said it, and I know it's true. You know it's true. Therefore, he took a rib and made a woman from Adam's rib, and Adam named her woman because she was taken out of man. And she filled and fulfilled, at least for a while, that concept that God had when he planned for woman and for this threefold work of the woman. First, he gave to Adam a wife and a companion. And I say to you, as God said it first, and it's not original with me, it's not good that a man should live alone. And so God provided somebody to be with him. The loneliest hours that I've spent in my home have been the times when my wife had to be away in the death of some of her family, or long ago when once in a while she'd go back and visit with her mother and dad, and I'd maybe spend a few days sort of making out the best I could, you know, and doing my own cooking, which was pretty crummy, I'll tell you that. And yet, listen, if in the first year of my marriage I grew lonely when she had to be away and I was alone and did not enjoy her companionship for a number of days, after more than 52 years of marriage, what do you think? Why, it's worse and worse all the time when you're left alone. God knew that men didn't need to be by themselves. And God set up a legitimate and right and a righteous and godly way and manner in which that need of man could be supplied. He made a woman to be a companion and a wife to a man. And there's nothing said in there about one having the advantage over the other, being more than the other, or getting more than the other, anything about it. God gave the woman a place, he gave the man a place. He made both of them. And if they be the product of the hand of God in creation, then they're equal. My wife is as important as I am, and sometimes I think a lot more. She does too sometimes. Forgive me, please. I didn't mean to throw that in just like that, but it came to end. All right. The first appointment of God for women was that they should be wives and companions for men. Now, when I say a companion, I don't mean a harlot. I don't mean a prostitute on the street that solicits the sale of her human body to any and everybody that walks the street. I'm not talking about that. God knows there's too much of that and so much of that that we're living in a Sodom and Gomorrah today in the filthy cesspools of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not only in the time of prostitution of women, but the prostitution of men, or those that call themselves men. God have mercy on them. They're everything else but a man. When we are having one of the greatest problems in this age, and I know that it has grown and grown and grown, as the Word of God tells us, all of these terrible things that would grow and become more intense as we come to the end of the age. We have more problems today with homosexuality in our society than I ever heard of when I was growing up as a boy. You heard very little about anything like that then. And I was among men and among the boys and grew up with them, and we knew very little of such things as that. And yet, God, through marriage, means that a man shall have a wife and a companion. Now listen to me. I forget the number somebody gave statistically the other day of the couples who are living together today, not married. Oh, I tell you, my brother, it's a shame. It's a disgrace to human society. Because the marriage institution is slipping down the drain. And people are not giving attention to the things of God, and they're going to suffer. And our society is disintegrating because of it. So number one, God's appointment for a woman was to be a wife and a companion. He said, man and must not live alone. All right. You heard me read that. I'll give you some scripture as we're going on here now. In the second place, the divine appointment for a woman was to be a helpmeet and a homemaker. You say, oh, you want the women to stay at home. Well, that's where God said from me, isn't it? I didn't put them there. God said they're to be homemakers. Now, I want to read you a scripture if I can get over here to it. I've got some marked. In the book of Titus, where Paul is teaching the aged men and the aged women and the young men and the young women what they ought to do, he said the aged women likewise, Titus 2, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. Listen to me now. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. The homes of people are to be kept, and they're to be kept by the women. Will you deny that? Will you take the Bible and tell me I'm wrong in that? I'm not interested in what men say about it. I'm interested in what God says about it. And so a woman is to be a helpmeet and a homemaker. And you women, listen to what I'm telling you this morning, because God's going to require it at your hand. Oh, if I had the time today to turn to the 31st chapter of Proverbs, we've read it many times. And he starts out here in the 10th verse, and who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. And then all the way through, right on through to the end, it tells about how she gives strength to her household, how she looks after the house and the home, how she helps to promote the honor of her husband. And she looketh, verse 27, well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. What kind of a woman can children rise up and call blessed? What kind of a woman can a husband bless and thank God for? A homekeeper, a homemaker. And that's what God intended for her to be. And then he goes on and speaks of her and the fruit of her hands, said, give her of the fruit of her hands, let her own work praise her in the gates. So women, God made a woman to be a wife and a companion for man. He made a woman to be a helpmeet and a homemaker. And then in the third place, he made a woman to be a mother. God made women, with exceptions, of course, as always is true, God made women to bear children. And yet we're living in a day when if a woman thinks she's about to bear one, as she runs to the abortionist. That is, many of them do. And the American taxpayer's money is paying for millions of abortions, which is nothing short of murder. Say what you will. Let all the doctors and men and medicals learning whom you can find, they're not God. And let them come up and say life doesn't begin till this, there, and the other place. But I'll tell you, life begins in conception. And God's eternal word speaks. Job talked about God knowing him before birth, and we can find many places in the Bible about it. And that little unborn baby that lies in its mother's womb awaiting the day to come forth to the day, the sunlight of this great world, is a living soul. And you're no more a murderer, my friend, if you take a shotgun and go out and shoot me or your friend, your best friend, somebody down in cold blood, than you are if you take your wife or if you as a wife permit yourself to be taken where some butcher will butcher and maim and tear up the life in the little tiny frail body of an unborn baby. I'll tell you, God will charge the blood of every one of those that's committed this side of eternity. God's going to charge the blood of them to those who stand by and say it's all right. And yet, women, many women don't want children today. Many women, they're not going to have children today. And many women will do just about anything in the world to keep from becoming a mother. A mother. There's no home in this land that's complete or right or biblical in the sight of God that doesn't have a mother and a father and a child. I don't mean that people have to have gangs of children and try to repopulate the world 4 or 5 times over and all that. But I'm going to say this to you, and I'm speaking plain this morning, as you well know, I'm going to say to you that that woman who is a wife and calls herself a wife, that woman who will not bear a child of her husband, brother, she is going to be held accountable before Almighty God if she is capable and physically able to bear a child. Because God said, and I can prove it to you if time permitted me to turn back here where he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I didn't say that. God said it. And I want to lay these three things on you, that God's, in God's ERA plan, and if a woman will fill these places like God intended her to, she's equal to any man in the world. Her place is a place of honor, perhaps as high, if not higher, than that of man. Although man is the head of the race, she is to be a wife and companion. She is to be a helpmate and a homemaker. She is to be a mother in the propagation of the human race. Turn to Genesis 4:1 and you'll see the first birth there, where Adam knew his wife Eve, and she brought forth Cain. They'd already sinned there. And the first child that was born of sinful parents, disobedient parents. And in the sin of Adam and Eve, the nature of sin passed upon all of the posterity of them as down through the centuries until this present time. Every child, innocent though it be, that comes forth from its mother's womb is born with the nature of Adam. Praise God, when Jesus poured out his precious blood on Calvary's cross, he paid the sin debt for all who will believe, guilty sinners who by choice become sinners. But the scriptures tell us in Hebrews 2:9 that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And in that sense, he tasted death for every man. And Timothy tells us, if I remember correctly, Paul speaking to Timothy I can't recall the exact place, but one of his letters to Timothy, he said that he is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. So the unaccountable children who do not know right from wrong and sin from righteousness in their innocency of childhood, they're not lost, neither are they saved through Jesus' blood like we are by personal faith in the Lord as a Savior, but they are safe because his blood paid the debt. And the only sin that they're guilty of is the sin of Adam's nature, and they had nothing to do with that. And that was taken care of for all people in the death of Jesus upon the cross. But one day, it'll be like Paul. You let them grow. You let them come up. And one day, somewhere, Paul said of himself, I was alive without the law once, but the commandment came as sin revived, and I died. And so it will be with those little ones that come forth. But getting back to the thought of motherhood and wifehood and homemaking, Oh, that women would be content to fill the place that God gave for them if every woman in America today was filling the place that God purposed and planned from eternal ages that they should fill. There would be no unemployment. There would be plenty of work for all of the men, and they'd be busy. But you can't change God's plans and run them to suit yourself and make a success of it. You just can't do it. So there's the threefold divine appointment for women. Now I want you to memorize that, write it on your heart and soul if you can today. May God do it by the Holy Spirit. That a woman is to be a wife and a companion for man. That a woman is to be a helpmeet and a homemaker. That a woman is supposed to be a mother of children. Of course, all of them can't. We understand that. And then in Titus, the second chapter, you heard me read that the older women are supposed to teach the young women to be homemakers. And you older women ought to do that. You ought to be busy doing that instead. In these crowds I see on the television, howling for ERA, some old gray-haired grandmothers are in the bunch, and they can jump as high as you could and yell and holler and cry and carry on like this wild about equality. And if you just ask one of them to take one of these automatic rifles that men carry to war and march out and stand on the front line and see the enemy come yelling over the hill out with the machine guns blazing, brother, they'd die of fright right there. Right there, they'd fall dead of a heart attack. But let me tell you something else about ERA, equal rights. Equal rights means that when you see a man, if you pass it, when you see a man coming out of the woman's restroom, don't say anything about it. When you see a man, instead of going in the man's restroom, go in the woman's restroom, don't say anything about it. They've got to have equal rights. He's got as much right to go in there, and she's got as much right to go in the man's restroom as one, either way, as the other. Oh, listen, that it's a bunch of mess. It's a bunch of foolishness. It's disgusting. It's heart-rending to think that people have so little respect. But back to the thought of mothers and of Mother's Day. Thank God for those mothers who lived as the Bible taught them. I'm glad I had an old-fashioned mother. I'm glad I had a mother that stayed at home and took care of the kids and cooked our meals and looked after us because Dad, when we were little, was in the field at work or somewhere else working to try to make a living. And I'm glad that she was women to fill the place that God ordained women to fill in the beginning. The second thing I want to give you quickly as we pass on is the divine decree because of sin. Because the woman sinned, and she sinned first. Now, let's get that. I know that a man ought to have more sense than listen to a woman and get in trouble. You know, a lot of times it works one way, a lot of times the other way. A lot of times a woman listens to the man gets in trouble, and sometimes a man listens to the woman gets in trouble. In this case, the woman's the one that first took of that forbidden of God, and God had told them not to touch it, and then she persuaded her husband, and he took it, and he ate some, and death passed upon them, physical and spiritual. I don't mean they die a physical death right there like a heart attack, but the elements of dissolution, decay, and death began to work right then and there. And one day they were put in a grave somewhere. And from then till now, people have all been like that, save old Enoch and Elijah. The only two I know about that were caught up in that glory without being buried in the cold bosom of the tomb. Only three men, Enoch, Elijah, and Jesus Christ. Only three men known to history that never died. All right. And so the divine decree is threefold against the woman. Now when Adam and Eve had sinned, the curse of sin fell upon them. because when we do wrong, we have to pay the price. And you just well get that on your heart and mind this morning. When we sin, that sin has to be settled some way, somehow, to the satisfaction of Almighty God. God has promised if his people sin, if they'll confess their sin, he'll forgive their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. But my friend, if you're a sinner, an unbeliever, without God and without hope, then your sin's going to have to be settled up with God somewhere. And if you don't turn and repent and believe on Christ, then it'll have to be in an eternal hell. God stood in the presence of the man and the woman and told them what would, and also the serpent, and told them what would take place and what would come to pass because of their sin. I want you to hear him speak to the woman. There are three things he said. He told man he'd have to work. He'd have to work and earn his livelihood to the sweat of his brow and so on. He told the old serpent who was there in that form, the devil in that form, that the seed of the woman would one day bruise his head. And that's going to happen. And that is happening. That has happened since God sent Christ into the world. And through Christ, men have been saved from sin. And then when he came to the woman, listen to what he said. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. All right. Now this is the divine decree. The curse of God upon the woman because of sin. Now listen to me. One is that she is to be subject to the rule of her husband. A second is she is to be subject to the husband's desire. A third is that she shall know sorrow in childbearing. And I wish I had the time to read all these scriptures, but the time is getting away from us. We could go back to 1 Timothy. Yes, I want to do that. If I can find that quickly, I want to read this scripture to you. To 1 Timothy, and listen to what he said. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Now, he didn't mean that a woman would get salvation by having a baby. And you know it doesn't mean that. But that it is committed unto the woman to be the one who bears the children. And the travail of childbirth is a part of the curse that came from sin. And God said, that's one thing. She's going to bear, she's to bear children, and she'll suffer in doing so. Sometimes they die. And her desire will be to her husband, and she must be subject to the rule of her husband. For the husband is the head of the woman, as Christ is the head of the church. Again, let me say this to you in closing, because I've got to close. The third thing I wanted to suggest to you, and you can think about this, is her glory and honor. We saw the divine appointment for women as a helpmeet, as a wife and companion, homemaker, so on, a mother. We've looked briefly at the divine decree because of sin to be subject to the rule of her husband, subject to the husband's desire, sorrow in childbearing. Now think for a moment of her glory and honor. Oh, listen, you mothers who got a flower or a card with a poem. My wife got one from one of the children, and he had written it himself. And, of course, it, by way of humor, more or less, and yet it was very serious and solemn, and it expressed what I believe lies in his heart. He said, my wife challenged me to write my other poem, and he made up one and wrote it. And I loved it. And she loved it because it spoke to her heart what was in his heart. And there come the cards and there come the flowers from the children, and they say in all too few ways, they say, "Mother, you mean a lot to me. I love you." They can't speak of all the things Mother's done for them. Time and space and paper would not permit it, because she's been a blessing to them from the day of their first cry until they marched away and went away, and then oft times on down through life, as they think the precious thoughts and the precious memories of the days gone by. But oh, it's sad that we have to carry so many regrets. So many regrets in my heart this morning of what I could have done for my mother. So many regrets this morning of the times that I brought hurt and sorrow and sadness to her heart. And she would have laid down her life for me any moment, anywhere, any way. Because she loved me. She loved the Lord. She loved the book of God. She read it to me. I heard her pray. And I can't ever get away from those things. They'll never leave me. She has glory and honor. We read in Proverbs 31. Her own works will praise her in the gates. What do you mean, Lord? When she stands yonder within the pearly gates of glory, she'll see the works of her hands as she's faithfully fulfilled her place as a wife, a companion, a mother, a helpmeet, a homemaker. And her children, God said back there in life, would rise up and call her blessed. They're doing that this Mother's Day. But one day she'll stand face to face in the presence of the Son of God, and her own works will praise her in the gate. Now I want to close with this scripture. In Isaiah 49,